All right, we're off. Lovely people. So nice to see you all. It's funny, isn't it? This time of year, it's always like, oh, can I be asked? I totally understand that energy levels may be a little lower at this time of year. So if you're watching the recording, my heart's with you and I totally get it. And it's so nice to see folks here. Just lovely. When I record these, you only have to see me. So if you're coming and you're on camera, we don't get to see you. But I can say Livette has the most glorious Christmas tree behind her and it's all lit up. So I, in particular, have a lovely view. So it's very, very cool. So a couple of things I wanted to talk about just as we get going. And what we're going to talk about today, we're going to do a little check-in. We're going to talk a bit about getting from self-doubt to your healthy adult self and what that actually looks like. We're going to do some coaching. And I wanted to share with you a special session that we're going to have in a couple of weeks to reflect on the year, which is totally outside of the program. You don't have to have done anything to get it. But I wanted to just share that with you as well. So just for those of us who are here on the call, let's kind of just get here. Right, this time of year is for most of us a little more frantic than usual often. So I just want to invite you to kind of feel your feet on the floor and let your belly kind of soften. Just you might want to wiggle your hips a little bit, just kind of land in your seat. Just notice where you might be feeling a little tension in your body or just if you're getting started with your day or if it's the end of your day, just sort of stretch into it a little bit. Just notice that your heart's beating and you're breathing, your body's holding you. And you're here. Yeah. Just take a moment to say thank you to yourself. Giving yourself some time. Letting yourself get here. What a gift. Just to hang out with yourself and these other humans. Magic. Just notice how that just brings you here. Lets you park the rest of your life and all that stuff at the door for a moment. Lovely. So when you're ready, just kind of come into the room, come back to now. Just know it's so nice to see you. And even if you're watching the recording, we feel your presence in the future. Really cool, really cool. It's the beauty of technology. We get to be together with or without time and space. So just a couple of things I wanted to share with you. So many of you have given me such thoughtful and generous feedback around your experience of this first round of the program. And I sent an email out a couple of weeks ago just saying, totally hear you. It's gone too quick, right? It's just been too quick with all good intentions from all of us. And so we're changing that. And it means that we're going to go back through the program again in February. We're going to start on this 20th of February, but I'm going to send you all the details so you don't need to worry about the whens and the hows. You've also said that the coaching circles are really important and that has really, I kind of knew that would be, excuse me, that would be really important. I had no way of knowing just how much that would mean to have these spaces. But I'm thrilled. Lisa, Marion, and Scott have all said they are totally on board. So we're going to also have the coaching circles through the year. So it just means that I'm hoping you can relax and feel supported and wherever you've got to with the program, just know that you're going to have access to everything over the whole Christmas break. We're going to make a few changes and tweaks and a couple of fun additions, but it will be very intuitive for you. Nothing will be lost. And we'll go through it again in a more spacious and paced way in the new year. The idea of this work for me is that it's never a once and done process, right? So even in receiving all that feedback, I was going through my kind of, you know, my lover energy of just letting myself feel those feelings of feedback. I always kind of go, oh, is it going to be really critical? Is it going to be really awful? And of course, you know, it's never as bad as you think. But that's a very human experience, right? Of receiving all that feedback, wanting it to be helpful, wanting this program to be so helpful for you. So feeling all of that and then going into that real sage energy of, okay, this is so great. Some of the feedback contradicted each other. So what am I going to trust? Like, what am I going to go, okay, what do I know or what am I sensing would really support you, given my experience and having done this before? So all of this work is something that I live all the time, and I've lived it for 10 years. And I think that one thing I know to be true is that our self-doubt is inherent to our humanity. It's tied into us. So there isn't going to be a time when we don't have moments of self-doubt. We don't have those times where we think, oh my goodness, I don't know what to do here. I can feel myself just wanting to hold back. I don't quite know how to make sense of this, what to do. All of that stuff is going to come up. And the idea is that we're not trying to get to a place where we don't experience self-doubt. We're folding that experience in and allowing a richer, deeper, wiser, truer part of us to make decisions on how to respond to that self-doubt. So going through this program again is kind of like the point. It's never going to be once and done. It's more like a labyrinth walk where you're kind of winding through and you sometimes feel like you've gone over the same ground and then you're coming back and you're realizing, oh, I am going over the same ground, but I'm in a different place. I'm reflecting back and I feel differently now that I'm here. So I think it's going to be really interesting to see how you experience some of these processes the second time around. And for some of you, some of it will be the first, of course, because we've gone too fast. But the idea is that you'll get that experience from a different place. And for Scott and Lisa and Marion, who have been doing this work with me for the last few years, you know, we talk about this in our meetings as well, as, you know, what part of us is leading this week, what part of us is feeling on top. And they're going through this, you know, for maybe the 9th, 10th, 12th time. So it's all about, you know, really honoring that this is not once and done type work. It's hopefully going to provide you with some resources and some really practical ways of being able to support yourself no matter what life throws at you, because there isn't really a risk-free life, right? That doesn't exist. So I hope that helps you feel kind of a bit relaxed about just chilling over the break and then coming back, and we're going to go in a richer, deeper way next year. So I'm really excited for where we're going to get to. I thought that what would be fun to do today is to kind of give you a little bit of the wider context. Now that we've sort of gone through this program, and for some of you, you'll be like, oh, I missed this module, or I didn't quite do this, and that's okay. But I thought now that we sort of have the full picture, I can kind of zoom up a little bit and show you how it all sort of fits together. And I know some of you have been talking about this in your circles this week. So let's have a look at that. And Faye, yeah, thank you so much for that. Yeah, the feedback is, it's like, it's, how do we make this better? Well, it's an interactive process. You guys are experiencing it. You know more about what it's like to do this program than I do. So of course I'm going to take that in. And I love that some of you said that actually being listened to was really important like actually feeling like it's okay for me to say this isn't working for me, or I don't know how I'm going to do this bit or whatever. So absolutely, yeah, you are sovereign, as am I, and that's how we'll do this. So yeah, thanks for that, Faye. I'm appreciative of your comments. Okay, so let's pull this together. I got some slides to kind of go through this, because I think sometimes having this in images can be helpful to see. Please know the chat's open. So if you want to kind of add in comments, or you want to stick your hand up, please feel free to do that at any time. We'll just go through this. So when we started, one of our, to give this context, I'd love you to have an issue that you're thinking about right now around like where your self-doubt might be holding you back, or something that you're kind of like noodling along in the background. Oh, this is a thing where I'm holding myself back. That might actually bring this to life more for you. So if you can have a sort of live issue where you know there's some part of your life where you're holding back a little bit, that would maybe help you in bringing this to life. So that's it, just a reflection question for you to sit with. Remember in module one, we talked about the self-doubt loop. Yeah, about how we kind of get stuck in this loop where we're contemplating doing something, and then we feel that alarm of self-doubt that's like, don't do that, you might hurt yourself. We sort of end up in that place of discomfort where it just feels like, oh, something's at risk here. Something feels awful. So this is when we start to feel body sensations or emotions. We get those protective beliefs coming up. We might have images of the future, the worst case scenario, if we do this thing that we're contemplating. We might have memories of the past where we've done something similar before and it's had a hurtful outcome for us, right? So all of that discomfort kind of comes alive because that alarm's gone off, because we're contemplating this task. Haven't even done it yet, right? And then we end up in this pattern of resistance, right? Where we kind of engage in those six P's. We either procrastinate, or we get stuck in perfectionism. We kind of get in that place of being frozen, and we're a bit paralyzed to make a move. We might engage in things like passive behaviors, or really active behaviors like people pleasing and proving ourselves. Right. So those six P's become a way that we're trying to resist that discomfort. What feels safer than the discomfort is it's getting involved in some kind of pattern of resistance. And over time, those resistance patterns sort of become our go-to. It's like, oh, when I feel this shitty discomfort, this is what I do to take care of myself. And that pattern can start to feel like, oh, this is actually part of who I am. I'm a procrastinator. I'm a perfectionist, right? I'm a people pleaser. I mean, how many of us, you know, kind of, we add those labels into our identities. Yeah, Mary's got a hand up. Yeah. And that becomes who we think we are. When what I see is that is a really sophisticated way of taking care of yourself. We don't actually know who you are, what's possible underneath that. Because if we take away those resistance patterns, what's left is someone who can resource themselves and make different decisions, different choices before you get in that loop, right? So the whole aim of our program together, right? What we've been doing over the last 10 weeks is to try and get you out of that loop really quick, right? So I'm contemplating a task, and then I'm going to go, oh, I'm feeling that kind of tingle of that alarm that's telling me somehow I shouldn't or can't, or it wouldn't be safe for me to do this. And it's then that I go, actually, how can I resource myself right now? How can I bring in my healthy adult self and the resources that it has access to? How can I bring that in to support me? And then you go off and you make a whole different set of choices, right? And that means that you don't go through the loop. You don't feel all that discomfort, get in that resistance pattern, or start to feel like, oh, this is just who I am. There isn't a choice at any point in this. When we can get out of that loop really quickly, it's like, oh, hang on a freaking minute. I can send the awkward email. I can have the difficult conversation. I can do this thing for the first time. I can just open the mail that's been sitting on my desk for the last 3 months that I just couldn't face. I can do that. I can find a way to do that. What happens is that through this very kind of natural, quite organic process of just going, oh, wait, I'm feeling that alarm. I'm going to have a pause before I get stuck in the discomfort, and I'm going to make a different choice. Lots of different things become available to you. This is amazing as well when it comes to relating with other people, right? Instead of jumping in, we get to go, okay, what do I want to do here? What do I want to say? Do I want to just go, okay, I disagree, love and light, or something of that nature, right? Or do we want to say, actually, I disagree. I've got this warrior part of me that wants to, you know, share with you what's okay and what's not okay for me. I've got this lover part of me that's like, oh, I have this emotion that's coming at that I kind of want to acknowledge right now. I've got a choice. And I can do that just in a breath. And just take a breath, take that sacred pause, and I'm taking care of me in that moment. See how that works, right? But we kind of have to go through this process of like, why is that alarm going off in the first place? Like, what created that? I kind of want to understand that, because then it can help me make some peace with it, so that maybe instead of feeling a full-on alarm, I'll just go, oh, there's that pattern again. There's that sense of discomfort because I'm entering into a situation that has the potential for conflict, and conflict is one of the risks I'm really sensitive to. And I know why, because I grew up in a family, and I'm talking from my experience here, I grew up in a family where it was really chaotic, and anger would erupt from nowhere, and I had no way of taking care of myself. It just felt really random. So I'm braced for conflict all the time. Of course I am. How else could I have managed that? I was just a little person trying to make sense of all of this. And so this is the thing, is by going through and looking at where did these things come from? Our sense of alarm, our sense of risk, that isn't an accident. Right? There's always a bloody good reason why we hold ourselves back. And so by going through that process of the life map and where some of our protective beliefs come from, you know, did they just get handed to us, or did we create them to try and make sense of the world? Right? We get to see, oh, that's why I think that, or that's why I see those kinds of people. I just go, oh, you must be like this, right? Makes complete sense, right? Because we're just constantly trying to figure the world out, make meaning from it. Keep ourselves safe. So all we're doing in those processes is just opening our possibilities up, seeing why that happens, so that you can make different choices. And by opening that up and looking at why it happens, you start to get to know this guy, your protector, right? So that those patterns of the critic, the martyr, the scapegoat, the bystander, sometimes they connect up with each other, but they're all based on those protective beliefs, right? Our protector is the sort of holder of those protective beliefs that understands where they come from. And all those patterns of behavior and beliefs are doing, trying to keep us safe. So that martyr's like, okay, conflict, bad, right? Best way to stay safe is create harmony with whatever means possible. Put other people in front of you, make sure you don't overstep, right? Keep other people happy, say yes when people ask you for things. It's all peacekeeping, right? You become a massive peacekeeper. It's such an understandable response. That's where safety is, right? Or it's stand on the sidelines. Nobody moves, nobody gets hurt, right? As a bystander, I'm just going to wait until I know enough where I know I'll be safe. I can do take the next step, but it's going to be from a place of knowing that I'm guaranteed safety. And of course, there are no guarantees. There is no place we can get to where, you know, you can please enough people, or you can know enough information, right? Where you can quit enough, or where you can be perfect enough. Like that place is a bottomless pit, right? So we get to understand, oh, that's where that's coming from, that protector place. So even as you're thinking about your current live issue, the voice of your protector, what's it saying? What's at risk for you in this live issue we're dealing with? What is your protector saying? What's it worried about? Just jot that down for yourself. In this current situation, what feels like it's at risk? You might have quite a lot of things that feel at risk, depending on the size or scope of the issue. It might just be, oh, people might laugh at me, or might get this wrong, or, you know, people are buying Christmas presents at the moment. Oh, I'll get the wrong thing. They'll be disappointed in me, you know? And so, the other part of this, right, is that we recognize that alongside this protector, we've got this other resource, because we are our most healthiest adult self right now in this moment. You are the wisest, the most experienced, the most knowledgeable that you'll ever be in this moment, right? And you have the best perspective to be able to look back and make sense of what created these protective beliefs, what created these patterns of protection. And notice that even in our model, right, the healthy adult self takes care of the protector. Protector is much, much smaller. I would make it even smaller if I could, but then you couldn't read it. But the idea is that the healthy adult self can take care of the protector. It's bigger, it's more resourced, it's way more capable of dealing with the situation. Often our protector is quite either a younger or more inexperienced or just less knowledgeable part of us. You know, just didn't know as many things. And that might be a day ago, right? Just might be a day ago. It might be 17 and a half years ago that protective belief got formed, right? Or in early childhood, when we were just going, whoa, this world is big and confusing, and I don't know what the hell's going on. Right? I just want to go and play in my tree. Why are the adults here telling me these things? And so the idea is that we, as self-belief schoolies, start paying a shit ton of attention to our healthy adult self, right? Oh, I love that, Mary. Your protector is saying it's a wise elder, but it's not. Yeah. So sophisticated, right? It's really not. That's your healthy adult self. But your protector is like, oh, you're getting better at this. I've got to use different me. I always think it's a little bit of a trickster, you know, our protectors. They'll very sophisticated and will give us all kinds of information. So yeah. And I wonder, Mary, if you've had experiences where older, wiser people have told you this is how the world works. Right? That's your, I'm getting lots of nods and hand waves from Mary. So yeah. And so, right. So it's kind of adopting that voice. It's like, oh, these are just inherited patterns. But what I love is you're able to say, no, that's a masquerade. It's a mask it's wearing. It's not actually wise. Your healthy adult self is wiser, knows more. And look, these parts of our psyche, I think sometimes we can feel a little bit like we've got a whole committee in our minds of other people's opinions, right? What I'm wanting you to do is to start paying attention to the parts of you that are resourced. Right, so these four core resources that really support you when it comes to self-doubt. So even just thinking about this, the voice of your healthy adult self, like, what's it telling you first off, right, with this situation? How can I resource myself? So that is a classic question from your healthy adult self. How can you resource yourself? Because you may just know straight off the bat, oh, the inconvenient truth is that I'm going to have to tell Barry from accounts this thing that he doesn't want to know. It feels awkward and difficult. And we all know Barry, right? So you start to realize, oh, you already know sometimes what to do. It's just that the thing to do feels risky, right? So when I'm encouraging you to sort of pull all of this together and what we call in the last module, the sacred pause, where you're just doing that pause before responding and kind of consulting with these resources you have, I always start with the healthy adult self. Just generally, what can you do to resource yourself? Because sometimes you just know. Sometimes you're like, actually, I really don't know what the answer is here, or I'm not sure how to move forward with this. But sometimes you just do. Sometimes you do know. So if you know, just write it down. Remember, we're just reflecting right now. We're doing the pause. So you don't have to worry about how I'm going to do that thing yet, right? That will come. What's your healthy adult self telling you about how you can resource yourself in this situation? Just jot down a note to yourself. It's great to know. Always encourage you to write this stuff down. Takes it out of your brain. It's a lot of information to try and hold without having it in front of you. So much research about handwriting our thoughts and how powerful that is for making sense of things. And so if we move around these resources, your self-belief, the sovereign energy, right? That's the fire in your belly, right? It's like your values, how you lead your life, the vision you have of your goals, what your future looks like. It's that sovereign energy, right? It's always leading you, right? And it can be a quiet fire, right? It can be leading you on a forest walk, or it can be leading you on a skydive, right? There's no, because we all have a different temperament, right? It's not about being the biggest and the brightest, right? Introverted, shy, quiet, ambition doesn't really feel like a thing for you. I'm with you, and that is still fiery for you, right? There's still a fire in you, and that is your real values. What is important to you? What has meaning for you? What brings you joy? Self-belief has a voice that's really encouraging, because it's always like going, I believe in you, and I'm leading you towards what has meaning for you. Right? So that voice is really encouraging. 100% believes in you, no matter what your protector's doing. And it knows all the parts of you that you're like, oh yeah, but I've got to do this bit too. It's like, yep, totally believe in you. Not going to bypass the doubt. The doubt's great because it makes you pause and think about what you want to do and how you want to do it. But your self-belief, that sovereign energy, 100% believes in you. Right, so just think about the voice of your self-belief with this particular issue. Like, what do you need to hear right now? What does that encouraging voice want to tell you? About this particular issue, what do you need to hear? you might find that the voice of your self-belief is reflecting a particular value about this particular issue, right? So if you have a value that is maybe one of your personal values, one of mine is is the bear, right? And that's all for me, it's about being kind of, I'm a creature, I'm not a computer, right? I need rest, I need nourishment, I need play, all of those things. So that bear voice, excuse me, this cough, that bear voice is always telling me, slow down. He's such a big old plodder, you know, he just plods through the world going, it's okay to rest. So right now he's telling me, you know, it's safe to hibernate a little bit. This time of year, it's like it's safe to retreat. I can slow down. So it may be that there is a particular value that is speaking to you through that self-belief. It's a great fun exercise to do over the break if you haven't already, is to get really clear on your values. Be really fun. And if we move around to self-acceptance, to the lover part of us, right? This is all about the flow, right? The flow of emotions. So I always associate it with the element of water. So it's about our connection to ourselves. Our connection to other people and belonging to ourselves. It's about our needs and our emotions, all the different parts of us. It's a really like healthy expression of emotion, letting us have needs, letting us have emotions. It's like this part of us accepts all of the different parts of that make us up. It's like, of course you would have that, honey. Of course you would feel that. It's the most compassionate voice. Totally takes care of you. Really, really wants you to thrive, and it knows that in order for you to thrive, you need to have your needs taken care of, mostly by you. So in this context that we're playing with, the voice of your self-acceptance is going to ask you, what are you feeling right now? It can also ask you, what do you need right now? And that will usually be associated with a feeling. So I think developing a really good or kind of a broad emotional vocabulary. So you can just kind of go, oh, this is what I'm feeling. It's the stuff we were never taught in school. I think they're getting better at this with kids now. Certainly homeschooling, it's, you know, way more adept at responding to the fact that we're human. But really just paying attention to your needs and your emotions. Starting to develop that vocabulary. It's amazing what that can do just for broadening your capacity to be with yourself. I realized a few years ago, if I can be with pretty much any emotion, I think that's a superpower. If I can be with things like shame and anger, you know, the real kind of gritty stuff that always feels a little bit crunchy, sometimes very crunchy. It's like, oh, if I can do that in a way that feels okay for me, I think that is a superpower. And emotions usually make us feel a bit messy and a bit human and a bit vulnerable, right? When we have big feels. But this part of you, this self-acceptance, it's just like, yep, you feel what you need to feel. It's not saying project that onto the world, make other people responsible, right? It's you get to feel what you need to feel. No one needs to change for you to feel okay. So what is the voice of your self-acceptance is asking you, what are you feeling right now about this particular situation? So you get to just play with that. And we move around to warrior, self-worth, you matter. So, and this energy of the warrior is really earthy, right? It's about boundaries and territory and action and advocacy. So I always think about that warrior as kind of like, almost like a kind of wooden stake in the ground of like really kind of going, okay, this is the line I'm drawing. And it doesn't have to be like super all or nothing. It's more, this is what's okay and this is what's not okay for me in this moment, in this context, right? So the voice of your self-worth is like, what do you need to do? What do you need to do to advocate for yourself? What do you need to do maybe to take an action? What's it asking for you, of you, the situation? What do you need to do? And notice that you'll know. You'll just, if you just sit with it, it's like, yeah, I need to do this thing. Sometimes that thing feels hard or difficult or uncomfortable. But just notice that you're going to have an answer for yourself. What do I need to do? Might not be something that you feel excited about or want to do, but it's clear, oh, this is what I need to do. Everyone got something? Yeah. Yeah. I think our protectors will kind of zip in and go, you're confused, you don't know. It's foggy. And it's like, maybe you need to go for a walk or have a shower or do something to kind of get out of the protector energy and into a place where you can access that warrior self. And then if we move around to self-trust, to the sage, this is about kind of what's in the air, right? Our intellect, our intuition, these kind of sometimes quite vague concepts that we're hopefully you're finding is a little bit more real and grounded for you after this module. But it's about your discernment, your decision-making, taking different perspectives, right? Being able to kind of make a decision or choice, knowing that it's going to be an imperfect one, that there's no right choice for most of life's decisions, right? But a choice that is thoughtful and that has taken into account these things, your intellect and your intuition, you know, allowed you to have some perspectives, whether that's in the future or from a different angle or from a different person's perspective, coming back to yours. When you're using your discernment, it's like the decision is more likely to suit you. It's more likely to kind of feel supportive of you. So the voice of your self-worth is going to say, well, what are your choices? And you get to play with that. And there's always going to be more than two. Sometimes we get into this, well, it's either this, which feels really risky, or it's this, which feels terrible. Right? So we kind of get into that all or nothing. We get into a situation where either I feel disappointed or the other person's disappointed. Like someone needs to be sacrificed. So either I take care of me or I take care of you, but there's nothing in between. And the idea of your discernment, of your perspective, is that you get to look at, well, what's an and option, or is there another third, fourth option? What's the thing you would never do? And then you get to see, oh, I've got lots of things to maybe play with here, things that I possibly hadn't allowed myself to see. Sometimes we need someone else to say, what about this? Have you thought of this? And then you can kind of go through those options and really check in what feels like a yes, what feels like a no, what feels like something that I kind of know I need to do, but I'm just not sure how. And so then, oh, okay, right, now we're getting somewhere, right? I know what I need to do, but what's the thing that is holding me back here? How can I resource myself in this? And just to come back to you all, like what you've done in that moment is given yourself a sacred pause, right? We've taken maybe 15 minutes if you cut out all the bits where I was yammering on, right? You take about 10 minutes, maybe 5 minutes, and you kind of go through that process and you're like, oh, and I kind of, I'm clearer. I have a better understanding of maybe what I want to do, or maybe what the choices are, how I can take care of myself. And you've also done this amazing thing of giving yourself a few minutes so that your body comes back to homeostasis. Your body comes back to a kind of regulated state. Right? So you come into that place of curiosity and being interested in your own experience. It's like in doing that, you're calming yourself, you're paying yourself some attention. It's a great way to bring yourself back to a calm place. And then it can sometimes feel, particularly when these issues come up in the moment, it can feel like, oh, I'm sort of through any emotional disturbance and I'm back to me. And it means that when you're responding, you're doing it from a place that you're likely to kind of honor your values, honor who you are. So I just want to pause there and just see if anyone wants to share anything that's come up. You don't have to talk about your situation unless you want to. But I wonder if that process has just given you a little bit of enlightenment about your situation. Have you learned something about what might have felt a little stuck? Does anybody want to share? Just let me know. Stick your hand up. Mary, I can see you typing furiously. You can totally share on the camera if you want to. Yeah? If I just ask you to unmute. There you go. Oh, I can't hear you, Mary. I'm so sorry.
Can you hear me?
Go.
Yes. Okay. So mine is around starting some physical activity, getting more physical activity into my life. And I really became aware of how much I am feeling preemptive shame and embarrassment about participating in what my preferred activity, which is group class with music, and which I've enjoyed in the past, but now having been out of it for years and feeling old and decrepit and out of shape and less than. And so feeling all that shame and embarrassment really helped me see, like, that's what's holding me back, is I'm so afraid of those feelings, and realizing that I can survive those feelings because I really actually enjoy those classes and enjoy how I feel when I move my body. But it was really eye-opening to see how much that was operative.
I love that so much. And I wonder, Mary, because it sounds to me like you've got this insight, oh, it's not about the class. It's about you feeling your feelings about, is it your feelings about your body, or is it other people's feelings that you imagine about you?
I think actually it's both. It's feeling like people are going to be judging me. Oh, look at that out of shape 63-year-old. What the hell is she doing in this class taking up space when us beautiful life, hardworking 45-year-olds are doing our thing. And so I think some of that, But I think there's also the piece of, I feel shame around my own aging body and that I haven't been working out in a few years and I'm going to be not good enough to participate.
Right. And so, you know, one of the kind of universal questions that our healthy adult self is really always fascinated and interested in is what else could be true? Right.
Well, I think from my previous experience with group classes is that people will cheer me on.
Yeah.
People will be very supportive, like, welcome, join the club, and we're so happy you're here. And good for you.
And
for-
notice, how does that feel about in your body?
That feels real because that would be my response to other humans.
Hello. Yeah. Yeah. And so I think that the other part of this that's really cool is that every time you go to a class and allow yourself to experience the joy and the endorphin rush and the sense of camaraderie with doing a hard thing with other humans, you're kind of healing that story.
Wow.
That no longer gets to be the story. And because that feels like a really kind of sophisticated protector story, right? And then there's this other really beautiful one that helps you belong to your body, connect to others, feel, you know, what you want to feel and getting strong. Mm-hmm. Amazing.
Yeah.
And so the thing to do when you've gone through this process is, what's the first step? What's the smallest, most doable step? I wonder if there's something that comes to mind as I ask that.
Well, I actually, as part of this school, have researched group classes in the area, and I know what the first step is to go sign up.
Yeah.
I've already done the research. I know where to go. I know what to do. I just haven't done it. So I actually know the first step.
Yeah. And I wonder, like, when would you like to start working out with these peeps?
Next week. Yeah.
Right. So it's feeling like, oh, it's time.
Yes. Yes.
Right.
I'm cruising on having done my first 30-day goal and getting into a much more healthier place on my financial well-being.
Yeah.
And this is like the physical well-being piece.
Amazing. So what I love is that, remember when you were doing your first 30-day goal and it was like that first period of, oh my God, everything's coming up, right? All my feelings and thoughts about money are coming up, which happens, right? The beauty of going through your first 30-day goal is that you then have that embodied knowledge of, oh, the kind of weirdness and the shame around my body is probably going to come up. But I know that I get on the other side of that if I keep doing this.
True. Yes. Yeah.
Right. So I love that you're just going, okay, let's next goal. Yeah. And so what's feeling like the kind of the goal that you have for your health and fitness? What does that feel like to you? I'm putting you on the spot, I realize.
I think it's about cherishing myself.
Oh, I love that. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I know that it's something I've been active in my whole life, and I've been through sort of a rough patch and COVID. And this is really a core piece of who I am, that I love moving my body. And yeah, it feels like coming home to myself, cherishing myself, gifting myself to do that.
Yeah. So that would be a fantastic goal to play with, because there'll be loads of different ways that you can cherish yourself.
Mm.
And this will be part of that.
Ah, okay.
Right. So I would, you know, like find 100 different ways you can cherish yourself.
Ooh.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then this becomes, notice how when we do that, when we name our goals in this beautiful way, like you have with financial well-being, cherishing myself, It means that you let go of a kind of pass-fail criteria of, I'm going to go to the gym, you know, 30 times in 30 days and all that kind of stuff. I'm doing that in the voice of a personal trainer. Did you think that was good? Yeah. No pain, no gain kind of thing. All that stuff. It's like, oh, the goal of cherishing myself. Like, I'm like, oh, I might steal that one. That sounds so good, right? We want those goals to be much more about taking care of ourselves than giving ourselves another reason to experience self-doubt, right? You're very good at this. Yeah. Oh, I love this. And you've got Lorna dancing in the kitchen. So that's amazing. Lorna, I would love to see you doing that, but I totally understand that you might not want to put that on camera, but I love that you're doing it. So fun. Yeah. And this is like, you've got so many people here saying, yeah, me too. Mm-hmm. So, you know, maybe there's room to support each other in doing this. You know, if you wanted to share some of your ideas for how you're going to cherish yourselves. Fabulous. Yeah. Thanks. This is why we need each other, right? Yeah. Yes. So cool. I love that. Thank you for sharing, Mary. That's
beautiful. Oh, thank you. Thank you so much.
Thanks. So folks, I'm aware that we're coming up to time, but I just wanted to, you know, like this is the process. This is kind of how I live, is that sacred pause and just going through, taking into account, what is my protector worried about? What does my healthy adult self want to offer me? And then what do I want to do? And can you see how Mary's unlikely now to go into that pattern of resistance? Because you've just done this beautiful work from your healthy adult self, and it's about cherishing yourself. You're so out of that loop really quick, really quick. Right. So this is the thing, and the wobbly feelings and the temptation to come back into it is always going to be there. And so we pause again and we come back to maybe our notes, or we you know, realize I'm in choice here, right? I'm the adult. I get to decide. And some days it's like the way I'm cherishing myself is Doritos and Netflix. And sometimes it's going to be, I'm going to go to an exercise class and sweat my butt off. Right? They both count. We don't have to make ourselves wrong. Right? You don't have to make yourself wrong. And it's like, oh, I get to relax into it. You know, I get to really properly do this cherishing work. Yeah. Amazing. So I hope that's been helpful, just to give you that kind of perspective of why we've gone through the work we've gone through, where we've got to, and how you can keep going. Yes, Lorna, cherishing over punishment. Totally. Yeah, that's the way. That's the way forward. Compassion is at the root of all of this. All of it. So on the 15th of December at 8 p.m., I'm going to be here. I hope you are too. And we're going to be reflecting on the year. I'm going to basically do a cozy reflection. So I'm hoping that you'll bring tea and maybe a mince pie or a treat of your choice. And we'll go through some reflections on this year, and then look at what you want to bring in for next year. The idea is it'll just be a lovely kind of journal prompty type experience, and a way to connect before we break for the holidays. So if you can make it, I would love to see you there. And if not, we'll see you in the new year. I'll be in your inbox confirming the 15th session and also the dates for next year as well. So you'll be totally in the loop. All right, my loves, you take care of yourselves. It's so nice to see you, Livette. Thank you for your tree and your light generally, and Mary for sharing, so great, and your comments, everyone, just really, really cool. What an awesome way to start the day. All right, loves, take care of yourselves, and I'll see you soon. Okay, bye, bye-bye.